everyone. Welcome to the Paranormal Zone. I'm Jerry Pippin. Hey, we have Mickey and Sylvie on the line. Mickey and Sylvie Avery. They're in Utah right now, but they're on their way back to England where they live. You'll find that their excursion into paranormal is very interesting, exciting, and adventurous. In fact, they have an entity who lived in the 17th or 18th century, and we'll be talking to him as well, as Mickey is able to communicate with those on the other side. In fact, they have an entire group of spirit people who are around, and you can communicate with them. Well, on today's show, actually, I'll be the only one communicating with them. But in future shows, we're planning to do a couple of hours from Las Vegas at the Sands Convention Center in November with Mickey and Sylvie, in which members of the audience will ask Mickey through his entity to communicate with those who have passed away and gone beyond. I think you'll find it a very interesting hour. So I hope you stay tuned as we kind of give this as a precursor to that show in November. On the line from Utah, where they're visiting friends, we have Mickey and Sylvie Avery, and welcome both of you to the show.
Yes, we've been here for 6 weeks now. We'll be here all together 2 months this time now.
And then you come back in November. Actually, I guess you'll come back in late September and October. You've got some reasons for coming back, and we might get into those before we really get into a little bit of the discussion about what both of you do. And the books, you have three of them. Are they all coming out at the same time?
Yes, that's right. They're all coming out at the same time, all three books. They're from our spirit team, from actual transcripts.
And what does that involve, really, when we say something like that? What do you mean by that?
Well, they're actual transcripts from trance sessions that we have done with an audience or with YouTube with other people present, whereby the spirit people, mainly Gregory Kay, comes and speaks and brings all kinds of things.
Well, I know, Sylvie, I think we're going to talk to Gregory Hay before the show's over, is that right?
That's right, yeah. Looking forward to that.
And what is your role in that? He's kind of the medium, and you bring it out, or how does this work?
Yeah, well, Mickey's the trance medium in this instance, and I'm the one that sits with him to make sure that everything goes well. And I give the energy to Mick as well, then they use my energy as well to produce what happens, and then basically I can conduct the situations with the audience, basically, and I do the editing of the material as well.
Now what do you get from the audience? Do they want to know, you know, the general stuff, or I mean, you know, like am I in love, or things like that, or do you get more serious?
Yeah, we're into more of the serious stuff, really, about the planet and about what people want to know about the spirit world, their fears about dying, where their loved ones would be now, their pets, you know, that sort of thing. We don't do the clairvoyance with the personal readings, you know.
Leave that to other people.
Now, Mick, when we talk to you both in the show here, since we don't have an audience, you're going to have to use me as the person. Is that okay?
Yes, absolutely fine.
So we'll get into that here in a minute. But if I understand all of this from both of you, you literally communicate with the dead, those that have gone beyond to somewhere else?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, to the other side. They basically use my body. I allow them to use my body as they wish. So they're allowed to take control.
Do you go into a trance, Sylvie? Does he go into a trance?
He totally loses consciousness, and then the personality of the spirit it takes over his breathing, his actions, his vocal cords, and everything. So Mick's mind is totally closed off to this whole whole personality, new personality coming to the scene.
Is this rough on you, Mick?
No, not at all, because it's spirit energy. Actually, you know, when I come back, I feel energized, really, by the whole situation, because they're not using my energy. So, you know, usually in a seminar situation, we'll maybe do this for 2 or 3 hours.
Now, are you guys planning any seminars? I guess you're going to do some in Las Vegas.
Yes, absolutely. We're doing actually 5 2-hour sessions in Las Vegas at the Exhibition Center. And we're also doing, hopefully, of course, 2 live question and answer ones with 2.
Yes, that's true. We will be doing that. And get an idea today exactly what's involved in all this. But first of all, I want to get a little personal with you guys and find out, how'd you guys meet?
It was arranged by the spirit world, yes. Mick arranged to do this with Gregory Hayes, who is spokesperson for the group that we represent. He arranged to do this before he came to the Earth plane. So.
Well, Mick, what'd you think of her the first time you saw her? You knew it was the real thing, right?
Well, I was actually into this before Mick, before I met him. So I guess they steered him to me, and I pointed him in the right direction.
We were both musicians at that time.
Uh-huh.
So we both played.
Did you have a group called Mick and Sylvia? You guys have the same ones. Now this is Mick and Sylvie, okay.
No. The same name as Drummer of the King.
We have a video out as well, which we did the music for.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when you first knew each other, when you first met each other, you knew that both of you had this gift. Is that right?
No, it's not at all.
Okay.
You know that she had her gift. I knew nothing about it whatsoever, although I had been searching a long time for, you know, like we all do, trying to find out why we're here.
And so, I'm just trying to figure, when did Gregory Hay come into the picture? I mean, almost immediately, for our audience, why don't you explain exactly what's involved here? When we're talking about the spirit world, what exactly is this? What are we talking about?
First of all, I had to learn to meditate and lose myself. I had to learn to be able to just completely go out of the picture. I mean, this wasn't something that I brought about myself. It was something entirely engineered by the spirit world, because they came through one day in front of an awful lot of people and through somebody else, you understand? And actually said that I had to be developed by the group of people that we were with at the time for this very thing.
If I understand correctly, you always communicate with the same group, is that right?
Yes, that's correct, yes.
Either one of you could answer this. Why do you think that is? It's just that you're just connected just the connection, I guess, that group. Is that the way that works, or why?
Well, basically, this particular group have want us to be the spokespeople for them, you know, to be the mouthpiece, to get their words and their information out across the world as far as possible, and they picked us to do it, basically, and that's about it. So, I mean, most people, when they do work with spirit, they usually work with their own guides anyway. So you have your own guides, and basically our guides got together, and there's this huge group of them, and it's called the White Cloud Group, that were formed to help us on the Earth plane, to try and save our planet, basically, to try and dispel the fear, to stop us doing all these awful things to each other, and help us to be a bit more responsible. And they also answer our questions about other things, out-of-world things as well.
We're talking about these seminars that you're having, and the public is invited to them, naturally. And I want to get into the fact you're probably having some besides the ones just in Las Vegas, or is that what you're concentrating on right now?
There are other ones due to be brought about. our we have a publisher in California at this time who is actually a narrator who is putting together a book show tour through bookstores, and we'll be doing seminar kind of teaching things there, also possibly some other trance demonstrations as well, presentations of the spirit group, so that people can ask their own questions about, you know, what's happened to their pets, anything to do with the spirit world, really. You see, the point, I suppose, where we're kind of different is that we're not religiously biased one way or another. We don't relate to, religious identities in as much as the spirit world really wants us to produce what is actually happening and not, you know, through some kind of creative thing out of man's own mind.
Yeah, so when someone comes to the seminar and you open it up for discussion, almost anything goes as far as
yes.
questions.
Yeah, the more complicated, the better. The more scientific and the more, deep, the better. Because, you know, it's really something that we couldn't answer personally. Only the spirit could answer these questions.
So about any subject or anything, it doesn't necessarily have to deal with just a lost person or something. Somebody that's passed on.
We don't tend to answer questions about loved ones that have passed on. They tend to generalize about letting you know what it's like in the spirit world, what they're likely to be doing, who they are likely to have been with, the possibilities, the absolute realms of possibilities that there are. So that it actually, in an audience situation, it involves everybody and everybody's relatives.
Now, Gregory was an Englishman like you, right?
Yes, that's right, yes.
But also, don't you have somebody that's a Native American involved in this?
Yes, that's right, yes. That's Silver Fox we're talking about. He is a Crow native. And he's actually been coming to our group for about the same time as Greg Kay, really. He brings a lot of philosophy as well. We have a book of his out, Journeys of Healer Songbird.
What's in this book?
A little bit about his life, as he tells it himself. He also describes his family, where he was from, and the kind of things that they did. And he reflects a lot about how he is now, because what we really don't seem to understand, a lot of people, is that people, when they pass over, they carry on growing. You know, they carry on learning and being progressing, moving forward in their thoughts. So, you know, there are places to learn in the spirit world just as there are here.
Now, a lot of people really probably have trouble comprehending what the spirit world is all about. I mean, I do. Are they bodiless? Or?
Well, okay, so what we're talking about here is to do with mind consciousness. And so what we do when we pass over is that we, through our consciousness, which is the part that becomes fixed with the spirit, that is the actual part which continues on in the spirit world. So what we're able to do when we're in the spirit world is that we can actually, through our consciousness, we can manufacture the thoughts and feelings and emotions, because we still have that mind consciousness with us. It's an actual part of our spirit entity, just the same as we have also cellular memory, which is a part of our consciousness. And that cellular memory enables us to form our a physical body lookalike, if that is what we want to project. So, for example, someone who may be passed to the spirit world who was in their 80s may well want to reflect on how they felt or walked when they were 18 or 23 or 30, and indeed they could bring that cellular memory back into their consciousness and attain that body function.
Well, immediately I wanted to ask what age is Gregory. Is
Gregory Hay was just 18 and a half when he passed. It's actually quite possible for an individual in the spirit world, they could bring themselves into being older than they really are, if they wish. You know, children, when they pass to the spirit world, you know, the fact is that they may well continue to grow in a cellular way.
Now are you saying that this is different from our normal concept of reincarnation?
Yes, we don't actually advocate that.
Okay.
Because this is actually to do with what the group represents is the fact that reincarnation is in fact a misplaced advent. It's much to do with Brahmin theory and to do with the way in which people wanted to absolve their responsibility for their actions now so they can come back and have another go and it's all fine.
Well, I've always kind of felt that as a theory, but it's interesting that you would say that. So actually,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
You are always you. You just grow.
And so in many ways, even though you said you didn't deal in the religious aspects of this, that's not really contrary to a lot of conventional religions.
Well, I guess. But the point is, you see, what I have to say here is that I was not allowed to read any books or manuscripts or anything about any other form of, you know, religion, although I did study some. You know, earlier on in my life, before I actually started doing this trance work for the spirit world, but since I began doing trance work, I have never picked up a book on anything because they want a clean slate.
So in other words, you as the transmedian, you want to keep your mind clear.
That's right, absolutely.
And
what's
then
the point in cluttering it up with earth stuff?
And then the thing is, you see, when Gregory is speaking, I mean, obviously not everybody's going to believe that it's another entity speaking through him, and that's up to them. That's fine. But the thing is, it's not going to be picked out of Nick's brain, out of his mind. You know, it's not going to be words that are regurgitated.
So in other words, it's kind of a fail-safe mechanism.
It's mechanism, yeah, yeah. And you know, he's got a slight stammer, as you might have noticed as well, and that totally goes as well when Gregory comes through.
Now, Sylvie, when he does this, when Mick does this, does he change physically, or is it just relaxed, or I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, Gregory has a sense around him that is totally different. He holds himself differently, and
Where are these people? In another dimension, or is the spirit world omnipotent? I mean, I just have trouble comprehending where the
spirit world is around us. It's all around us. I mean, they are living their life with us.
Are these spirits able to watch and see what happens to us?
Everything, yeah. Absolutely everything.
It's not to say, though, that they're intrusive about it.
Yeah.
I started. That was my next question. Do they intervene?
They intervene. Well, the point is that we have to realize we have our own free will, and they respect that free will. And that can be to do whatever we do, right?
Uh-huh.
So that's down to our own consciousness, our own duty of care about ourselves, and the way we act towards each other.
In other words, even if they disapprove of what's happening, they don't. I mean, I'm just trying to get a feel of what really happens here, and when you pass on to the other side, do you? I mean, how did these people that's part of the Gregory group? How did they all decide they're going to be part of that group?
They may not necessarily be with the group all of the time. It's like, you know, people going to a university, they'll go there and study for a while, and they'll have an input into that place of learning, and then they'll move on, which is basically what happens, although Gregory A is always there, and some of the others are always there as well. But there are many hundreds of them.
they've all had a physical life experience on the Earth as well, and other, and probably most of them on other worlds as well.
You're anticipating my next question, Sylvie, was what about other worlds? So there is a possibility of other worlds.
We do have other physical experiences, lives, but not on the planet of Earth. There's plenty of other places to have a physical experience, if you like. Some people don't even come out of the spirit world.
Yeah, some people
they never have the, for lack of a better term, the human experience. We'll be back in a moment and find out how we get in contact with Gregory, and we'll set that up as we continue along here. Let's take a break. We're going to tell people how to get the books. You can do it on our website as well at jerrypippin.com. We have a link to Mick and Sylvia. And Sylvie, here I'm calling you Mickey and Sylvia now. Okay, hey, we'll be back in a moment. It's Jerry Pippin.
If you're looking for adventure, information, and entertainment on the internet, one stop fits all, jerrypippin.com. At jerrypippin.com, you'll find multimedia entertainment at its best. Almost 2 million people are enjoying hours of entertainment and information. Get it now. www.jerrypippin.com.
Gregory's here. Just there.
We're starting this segment. Gregory, hello. Can I talk to Gregory direct or through you, Sylvie?
The picture. I'm here, though.
Okay, Gregory.
Hello, friend.
Gregory, there's so many questions I want to ask, and I hope you can give me some of the answers.
I will do my best.
I understand that even if I need to, and I want to find out about not only human beings, but you can update me on maybe a beloved pet that I lost.
Well, my dear friend, understand that at times when you give love to an animal, it could be a dog, cat, mouse, if they, or a horse, whatever that animal is, you are bringing yourself, your love energy towards that animal, and what you're getting back is that love energy itself. So when a pet of yours passes far side of life, and you think of it, they can come towards you, they can be with you, and you can feel them around you, just the same as you would if you had been grieving over some loved one of your own race.
This particular pet of mine was a schnauzer, a dog, and I have a schnauzer now who has lots of the same tendencies of the original dog, Benzie. Sometimes I wonder if they're not the same dog, but I guess they're not.
Dear friend, because what you're seeing is species time, which is a cellular makeup. It is that particular species is bred for a specific purpose.
It was always tough, to put a pet to sleep, and he was in pain at the last, and I've often wondered if he's forgiven me for that.
Oh, my dear friend, you must never think that you have done something to bring a misadventure on your love's pet. It was in fact that with all pets, if you for the best will and feeling that you have, that you bring their life to an end because you do not wish them to suffer. I am sure that is the right decision to make. And your pet does not hold or harbor any ill feeling or ill will towards you, my friend, because you did that action, you committed that effect upon his life or her life through a will of your love for that.
So, as far as this particular animal's concerned, I'm sure he's probably, do they die and cease to exist, or are they still in the spirit world, or what happens?
In the event of dogs, they will go to the spirit harbor of dog, where they will meet with all other dogs of the same description and of other variants, because that is the so-called hierarchy from whence they have come.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the things for the radio audience here. Of course, when you were alive, there was nothing like radio or communications. As a member of the spirit world, you passed on when you were young to the other side.
And a half, and I passed 1723. It was raining. I was run over by a coach and horses. That was me.
And as a member of the spirit world, you passed on when you were young to the other side.
18 and a half, and I passed 1723. It was raining. I was run over by a coach of horses. That was, I could believe it, was a death of knock at night. It was raining very hard. They did not see me. My own place, my house. Well, of course, it doesn't do too well for individuals to dwell on how they pass. It can make individuals so dour. My dear friend, if I may describe something that your listeners may relate to, for example, women who have children, they may have a painful time of that. During childbirth, and it may last many, many hours. And of course, what you are specifically witnessing on your part would be the trauma of the event of a physical action. In actual fact, if you relate to the lady some years afterwards, it would be but a memory.
I was asking some people pass away into death quietly, others have violent deaths, and I just didn't know if that impacted how we are in the spirit world.
It's painful in that memory, but it is just a memory, and it is exactly the same, dear Ben, that so many individuals on your side of life stress on how, worry over how they see their loved ones passing. They try to alleviate pain, of course, as anyone would. Or they may well, in fact, in reverse, as some do. They may well create that passing.
I'm not quite sure I comprehend exactly how it is in a spirit world. As far as, are things written or predetermined, or do we have our own free will? In other words, if you're watching us, do you already know what's going to be happening to us, or does events unfold even for you in a surprising way?
Dear friend, indeed, there will be some individuals on your side of life who have their pathway mapped out because they are for a specific purpose, walking the physical life form. In terms of others, dear men, they will not necessarily do so because that, in fact, is based on the individual's own free will. And it is your free will walk to do that which you wish and decide to do to make the best.
Is there any way that you know about events that are happening or may happen? Or do we have a...
It is a matter of breaking through the timeline, because as we understand it, you exist within Earth time records. You exist in the murky thick world of Earth. You operate in that world. You expect when you have a memory of an event that that time will lapse. From the inception of the event to its fulfillment. As otherwise you would not be able to maintain or understand what a passing of time was, because that is how your Earth connects. However, in the spirit world, we do not have that passage of time, because we do not dwell on such notions or such events of having to do something in order to achieve something else. We just are.
In the spirit world, age is not important, or it's non-existent?
It is non-existent, then. Age does not have a time limit, because it is something that occurs only in the physical dimension. Because what you are talking of, dear Ben, is the physical matter, and the physical matter in its inherent form will be born, will grow, and will pass away. The shedding of that spark of life that is spirit will carry on in the spirit world.
Gregory, I'm going to ask Sylvie something here, if it's okay with you. Sylvie, in these seminars you have, when Gregory does talk to people, what type of questions are most frequently asked by the audience, or is there a category?
Well, they talk about angels and do we have a guide, that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
Reincarnation always comes up. Do spirits visit us here on Earth? Life on other worlds and that sort of thing.
Gregory, is it unusual for you to take part in a broadcast? Is this?
This is the first time that this has ever happened. Our plan, Ben. We had organized this long ago.
Gregory, now we're talking about lots of things, and Sylvie mentioned a question that we always deal with here on this show, is life in other places besides here on Earth. What can you tell us about that?
Absolutely so, yes, of course. Just because humanity exists upon the Earth, they does not mean to say that it is the sum and total of it. Indeed, there are many worlds in no universe to your way of thinking and to other universes that exist outside of your dimensional perspective.
So in other words, it could be in another dimension as well as in a far, far away place.
Of course, yes. Yes, there are many other worlds in other dimensions.
Are they all pleasant worlds?
Not necessarily. Some are very hostile.
And do we have any choice on where we become a human or whatever the existence is? Do we have a choice to choose these worlds? Or?
Yes, that's the reason. What you must realize, dear friends, is that spirits have always existed because we are part of what you would call God or Creator. Part of the supreme life and energy force of all things. And that force permeates throughout all realms of distinction, all universe known and unknown to Earth.
You know, here on this planet, in this existence and that we're in now, that I'm in, broadcasting, We have good versus evil is one of the dynamics that you hear about all the time, and it's things that novels are made of, and fiction and movies, et cetera, et cetera. Is that a relative term, or is there really good and evil?
It is a physical event, dear friend. Evil exists because of mind coercion, because of free will. I suppose you could say that some individuals feel it their biding time, their will to do those things which are hurtful and harmful to others because they have only selfish opinion at their will to observe.
When these people do things that are harmful and hurtful, is there some sort of punishment to them, or is that just part of the life?
Well, dear friend, what you are talking of is that when an individual passes, and all individuals will pass at some stage to the spirit world, they will have to justify every single action they have committed whilst in a physical state. That is, in conjunction with and in completion of all actions that have taken part to do with their own species or upon victimization of other species, other beings, animals that exist perfectly in harmony with your good self. It is not a British that it involves, but that it is some manner of self-perpetuation or worthiness or some such thing. Perhaps they feel good when they kill some other animal and just thrill at the joy of doing that. They will have to recount all of the ancestors of those beings they have so disrupted.
Subject could go on and on and on here, Gregory, and we have a limited time in broadcasting, and I thought the way I'd end this segment, and then we're going to talk to Mick and Sylvie again, and we're going to do a couple of broadcasts with you in November, if that's okay, if you thought this was sufficient.
Well, my dear friend, we are all ears. We are here ready and waiting at any moment that you would wish to do so.
And so we will follow that up and really get into a lot of these issues in our November broadcast. But what would you say to our listeners? It's kind of a summary of a message from the spirit world, if possible.
Recognize your duty of care to yourself primarily, because there is so much fear, so much anger, so much danger that you fix upon yourselves and your lives. The other important statement to make is that you have but a short time on your surface of the earth in which to stabilize it and make it safe for those children you would wish to bring into the earth. Do not forget, the spirit world wishes the earth to continue, because there are many individuals here on our side of life who still wish to have a human existence, because we learn so much from doing so. We wish to save your planet.
Is it possible that the planet may not be saved?
It is on a knife edge at this time, Freddy. And it is to humanity's own free will that they would wish to safeguard such things. You cannot destroy millions of species just for your own selfishness. You have to make a statement of that in your own mind to your duty of care to yourselves and the planet on which you live.
Gregory, with that, we'll let you go, and we'll be doing some more broadcasts with you in November.
Thank you so much, dear. Coming back.
Okay, Gary.
Hello.
Mick and Sylvie, the reason I wanted to talk to you, Mick, as Mick again, and Sylvie, is kind of wanted to wrap up a summary of what we're talking about here for our listeners. And how you foresee this happening in the future, and how you do these in the seminars. One of the things I didn't ask at the opening, and I'd like to ask now, is in England as versus America, which population is more open to this sort of thing?
It's around, I suppose there are around 60-odd% have had a psychic experience of one form or another.
In England, you're talking about. In America, how do you get a feel about that, do you think?
I think the figure is probably something similar, although, of course, a lot of people won't admit it for one reason or another.
Sylvie, you guys are going to move to the Western United States, right?
Yeah.
And why did you guys choose the Western United States?
Because we're not...
Or was it chosen for you? Maybe that'd be a better question.
Well, maybe. We like trees and lakes. And
lots of greenery.
We're thinking of Oregon. I've got a horse.
Well, it is beautiful. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And... of course, you're in Utah right now where you have friends, I assume, is the reason you're there. And you have been making a tour by automobile, a part of the West Coast already, correct?
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
And so I guess what I'm trying to get here in the closing moments of the show was your feel for moving to America. You still feel it's going to be a good move.
We love the country.
We love the people.
Absolutely, no question on it.
And do you get any feedback from the spirit world about countries themselves? They seem to be, you know, in many ways rather provincial, that one country over another country, et cetera, et cetera. How do the spirits feel about all of that, or they just understand that's a human tendency? You know what I mean. In other words, it seems that nationalism is very important to the human psyche, or has been in the past.
Yeah.
And it seems to me the overall message of the spirit world is that we're all one group of humanity.
That's right. And I think that's why maybe they're liking to come here to America, because people haven't got the other side. People don't know who to ask. You know, mediums here tend to, a lot of the time, do the personal clairvoyance, which is wonderful, and you know, it has its place. But there's not the education and the people to ask about other things, about how it all works, why we're here, you know. So.
Well, we look forward to doing some more shows with you, and I want to get, again, our time's almost up, so I want to run over the books here and everything. But just any parting comments by you two?
Well, just come to see us in Vegas.
Yeah, and, wherever we are.
Wherever we are. It'll be up on our website.
And we have a link to that from our website as well. And also, we'll be doing more broadcasts with you, as I've said. Mick, you're okay, huh?
Yes, I'm fine. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you for asking.
Okay, and Sylvie, we'll talk to both of you soon.